You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We're looking for the gunner.
Hello?
Oh. Mike, you there? Oh, my God.
Hello? Oh, yikes, he's going to yell at me. Hey, hold on.
Hello, you there?
Jack, can you hear me?
I can hear you. That was, this might surprise you, but that was my fault.
Oh.
How's your, how you doing, man? What's up?
Not much. Going to the hospital.
Like, do you live there? Are you going to move there? Who are you going to the hospital with? For you or somebody else?
No, Ralph has been in the hospital since Friday.
How's Ralph doing?
He's doing better. He's fighting an infection in his leg.
Wow.
So they got him there to treat the infection.
Well, give us a, you got to keep us updated because now it's like your friends are our friends now. Like Buck is a character on the program, right? We know we know Buck, we know Ralph, right? We know Montana Man, we know Ohio Man. There's all these characters on this program, so you got to keep us up to date. How long's the drive?
About 35 minutes.
All right. And then where the hospital, Fort Worth? Is that where you said?
Yeah, it's in Fort Worth. Yeah.
Got it. Did you do anything fun over the weekend?
No, I've been spending time over there at the hospital.
Anything else? So what do you do at the hospital?
We just laugh and tell stories. Tell them some Marine stories.
Do you?
Laugh.
Do they like your Marine stories?
Yeah, they love it. It's funny.
And you, and truth be told, you're a pretty good storyteller, yes?
Yeah, I can tell a story down there.
Mike can tell a story now or then. So you spent most of the weekend at the hospital, going back and forth, yes?
Yep.
All right. Where do you eat? Do you eat at the hospital? Tell me about hospital food.
Hospital food's not bad. Go down to the cafeteria, grab something to eat. They got a pretty good menu choice.
What's the best thing you ate at the hospital? So you eat there?
Yeah. I have sandwiches or whatever, and yeah, it's pretty good food.
All right.
I mean, in fact, we've eaten MREs, so I mean, come on. That's a silly question. I mean, any kind of food, you know, we'll eat anything.
You know what? That's the truth. And I'll tell you what, and the MREs they have now, come on, it's like the best eating you can have. When they first came out, if you ate MREs, yeah, you would have to carve your waste product out of your body with a stick because it would, like, block you like nothing. Like,
yeah. That peanut butter would block you up like no other tomorrow.
Like dehydrated like ham or chicken loaf.
But chicken a la king. Ham loaf.
I had one guy named Mike. Hey, Mike, you know how there's guys who love MREs?
And there's guys that love specific ones, like the ham loaf.
I had a kid named Mike Sherrar, and he was, you know, he's just a tough kid. He loved MREs. People would be like, oh, man, I hate this. He's like, I'll have it. Like, Sherrar, man, what? He's like, I love it, man. It's so good.
Yeah, remember the old ones when they had the wieners, the franks and beans, and the dehydrated beef patty and the dehydrated pork patty? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, you would eat this, and you would not go to the bathroom.
Like 3 days.
Yeah. And then you would explode. It took, like, this how would I call it, this avalanche inside of you to force this dehydrated food out of your system. It was awful. And I think most guys, I don't know if Mike, but this is how the way I was, I would eat applesauce. I would eat cocoa. I'd make cocoa soup. I'd take cocoa and I'd just pour the water in it. And I'd eat those all day. And I'm trying to think what else.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I don't know.
Well, thank goodness we used to steal all the hot sauce, the Louisiana hot sauce chip. And then thank goodness for hot sauce. We doused everything in hot sauce.
Did you not have your own, like, little bottle of Tabasco, Mike? Come on, you're a professional infantryman.
That runs out pretty damn quick.
That's a mistake. But I had Marines that they got pretty good at even making those decent meals if they had enough heat. If they had enough heat, they would take a dehydrated beef patty and they would put water in it, and then they would go ahead and they would make I don't know if it was pork and beans, but beans, and then they would mix that all together, put hot sauce in it, and it wasn't half bad.
No. I mean, there were guys that were very creative that come up with recipes. And at one time there was actual, I mean, probably still is, but there was a MRE cookbook.
Yeah, no kidding. So, the MRE cookbook, yeah.
Yeah, you had the time. But if you had the time to heat it up, it wasn't that bad. And you just put everything in a canteen cup.
That's right. That's right. And your canteen cup by the end of however a couple weeks is just nastified.
Yeah, just crusted.
Yeah, and then if you got smart, and this is what MREs would do to you, you would bring steel wool to the field so you could clean your canteen cup. Because that thing, if you were gone for a while, that thing was just going to get, it would be just disgusting.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the National Memorial Day concert over the weekend?
No, I didn't watch any of that.
Okay. I watched the concert or part of it, and there was a guy who got blown up in Afghanistan. And right at the 2-hour and 15-minute mark, if you want to watch something really cool, he singing helps him with his speech and his diaphragm and things like that.
Yeah.
And Mike, he can't sing worth a shit, okay? And he goes up on stage with his singer, and it's awesome. She's singing, he's singing, they're singing God Bless America, and he's just crushing it off key. It is awesome. It's awesome. But you know, they told his wife that he wouldn't live. She should pull the plug. She had to make peace with it. She said, yeah, I'm not doing that. And, you know, it's just a great little piece.
Was this the concert in D.C.?
Yeah. General Dunford's there. He talks for a few minutes and is very...
Is this the same one that old Lieutenant Dan puts on from Fort Gump?
Yeah. Lieutenant Dan was... he speaks at the start of it. And but again, just if you see this... It's awesome because he sucks singing and he's ripping it. He's in his wheelchair in his uniform. And, I just got an email, from Bob Nielsen who said this. I know Captain Avila and his wife well, spent many hours talking. You could not believe his progress. Thank you for the therapy. He said that, he stopped while he was driving, just to be noted. But it's just very cool. You see that and you're like, holy shit. He's got three kids and, it was a cool little moment.
That's good.
Yeah. No, it was. It was, I mean, it was good. And so anyway, what do you think we can do for the country? How do we start something to educate about what Memorial Day is? My 13-year-old didn't get taught anything at school about Memorial Day. Nothing in history class, nothing in literature.
I know.
So that we can stop people from saying Happy Memorial Day. And just so
you know, that, Mac, that is the biggest. That's why I don't like to go out on Memorial Day because, you know, yesterday at the hospital, and people said it all day long was, you know, they'd see and like, oh, happy Memorial Day. You're like, and you don't realize there's nothing happy about it, you know. I mean, it's a day to remember, and, you know, for me, it's through this whole, you know, what could have, what life would have been if they'd been, if those people would have still been in it.
No, I know, and that's why, but you know, Mike, it's straight up ignorance, right? They're not bad people. But you know what, it blows me away, and my daughters said this to me yesterday. Dad, how could they not know? They're adults. How do they not know? And I said, I don't know.
Most people think that the 4th of July is the liberation between the Indians. I mean, people don't know. People don't know.
Come on.
I mean, unless you really understand what those things are about. I mean, Christmas. Look at Christmas. You know, no one knows that, you know, hey, Christmas is, you know, it's not Santa Claus. It's not about Santa Claus. Or Easter's not about a bunny rabbit that lays eggs with toys in it or candy. But that's what, you know, the world kind of starts to believe in.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I I'm not hating on them because it's just ignorance. They're good people, and they just don't know. And so to me, that's what it's like, you know, what do we need, a hashtag? Hashtag no more happy Memorial Day. I don't know what you do to educate, but it's really important. It's the reason that Remembrance Day was set up to begin with, that we not forget people that that gave their lives, and just as importantly, their families. You know,
more importantly, because the family is the one that still goes through the lock every day.
Every day, it never ever stops, and
it never goes away.
And so, to me, by not being smart about that, you don't reach out. Like, how many times did you hear the words "Gold Star Family" yesterday? Not very often.
No. Nope. Not at all.
Yeah, and so to me, that's what it is. And it's like, okay, what do you owe that Gold Star family? Okay? And what do you owe that guy who died? You need to volunteer in your community, man. Just help out. Serve the nation some little way. Right? Food to the food bank. Clothes to the homeless shelter. Go pick up trash. But you got to pitch in. You got to help. That's what you owe, and you got to vote. Those things. If you do that, nobody's asking anything else of you. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Sacrifice.
Right. But if you don't begin to teach it.
Sacrifice a minute of your day.
Yeah. Maybe a half of a Saturday. Nobody's asking you to be Mother Teresa. Mike's holding that title down, okay? All we want you to do is help out. Just pitch in a little bit. But if you don't know what a Gold Star family is, okay, and you don't know the true meaning, then get educated, you know, and you got to educate your kids and your grandkids and make sure they know because they won the lottery.
Yeah.
They won the lottery. They won the lottery. So, anyway. But, I mean, to me, it's like, I'm not hating. It's just an ignorant thing. They just don't know because they've been taught by people who don't know, with very few exceptions, right? And so, we got to figure out some way. And Mike, I'm watching the baseball games yesterday, and guys like Joe Buck, he's like the preeminent announcer of football and baseball in the country. Happy Memorial Day, everybody! Welcome to Cardinals Stadium in St. Louis. Like, are you kidding me? How do you not know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get it, man. I understand.
So I'm going to write Major League Baseball a letter and say, hey, this is who I am. I grew up in your sport. Would you please consider sending a memo to all your teams? Because let me tell you, I thought it was very cool. At 3 o'clock yesterday, every game and event stopped for a moment of silence. I thought that's all well and fitting and as it should be. But we got a little bit of ways to go. So anyway, just my thought. So anyway, all right. Let's talk about food.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Somebody asked me a question about a good summer Italian food. I was like, well, I'm not exactly sure about that. Do you have any summer
Italian? Yeah.
Hey, hold on. Will Constantini's calling me right now. Why do you think Will's calling me? Right. Why do you think Will Constantini's calling me right now?
I don't know. To give you the definition of what we're talking about.
Do you think it's an angry phone call?
No.
You don't?
What has he got to be angry about?
You know what? I think he's got a new job. He's been unemployed for a while.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's either still... I was talking to him last time, and he was going through the interview process for a new place, so I don't know.
Hold on. Let me see if his old cell number works.
Hello.
Hey, do you want to be? You're on the radio right now with Gunner and I, just so you know.
Hey, I'm just letting you know I'm coming out to L.A. I'll be there tomorrow night.
Are you coming out here to work?
I'm coming out there to interview.
Yeah. All right, I'll put in my 2 cents. Okay, do you have anything you want to say hi to Mike? Say hi to Mike. He likes you.
There's nobody out there that actually likes me. He won't tolerate me.
No, no, I like you. I think you're funny in your own
car. We like you. Don't start this pity party.
Yeah, why the pity party?
Yeah, I didn't get the invite. I'm not dressed for your pity party.
Yeah, did Little Miss Nitro take the flamethrower to you this weekend? Why are you being a baby?
Yeah. I didn't know what dish to bring to the pity party, so I'm not coming.
Exactly. Oh, so, yeah, why the pity party? What's going on, man?
Well, I'm coming out there to interview with a company right there at the board. And, see how it goes.
All right. Well, call me when you get... What?
Yeah, every time I come to L.A., I get this harassment. I don't call people,
Is it not true?
I have any friends out there.
Yeah, is it not true?
So 2 out of 3 times.
Mike comes out here, he calls, he lets us know.
I'm never coming back out there.
I see Hall of Famer.
Does he need
a letter of recommendation?
I'm hoping that my charm and good looks are going to carry me through.
Well, hope is never a course of action. You taught me that.
You know what? Are you unhinged? Is this a cry for help? What's going on?
Well, hey, what's the topic today?
Mike's got a buddy who's in the hospital, and then we're just talking the incredible amount of ignorance in the country about Memorial Day.
Spent some time with them.
Yeah, Mike spent the weekend there at the hospital telling funny stories. How would you rate Mike as a storyteller, Will?
No, he's good. He's,
quality.
Top 10% or so, I would say.
I'd say he's top 5, easy.
Yeah, I mean, and normally it's the situation he finds himself in.
Which, yes. Right?
Or the situation
the material is so good.
Myself in.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week, how the Gunner's got a special Visa card to get involved in just about anything he wants, right, Will?
Yeah, anything he wants, whether you attempt to restrain him physically or through the force of, like, law or morale, it doesn't matter. He finds his way.
And not enough, hey, and not enough judgment to keep himself out of the stupid stuff.
Exactly. And then he tiptoes right between the raindrops, you know?
Right, right.
It never seems to splash on him.
Okay, and that's where the story begins. That's the best part of it. That just gets us to the start of the story. Yeah.
How I got myself there?
Yes, how you got into it. You'll never believe it. I'm minding my own business. I'm walking.
There I was, minding my own business.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Oh,
wait. You know, there's this expression in the Marine Corps, right? I'd rather have people I got a kick in the ass than rein in. It's not really true, because most people don't like to have to rein people in, because that means they got in trouble, usually with your boss. And you got to take the heat for it. Musselman was one of those guys. It didn't matter if I wanted to kick him in the ass or rein him in, right? There were no reins that were going to keep him in, and I wouldn't have been able to find him on any given day to kick him in the ass. So I just knew I had to have extra body armor available to take the incoming 155 rounds for him.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you say Mike was pretty much on his own program in the Marine Corps? Yes?
In the two units that I knew him from, 1st LAR and Weapons Training Battalion, I would say that in excess of 97% of the time, he was on his own program. And that other 3%, I thought he was on my program, but he had probably manipulated me, so that I was actually on his. So, yeah.
You notice Mike being silent? Doesn't happen often, okay? Because this is the actual legitimate truth about Mike and the way he lived his life.
I'll take that. Yeah.
All right. How did you, Mike? That. What's one of the most, when you're going to be on your own program in the Marine Corps? Because you hear needs of the Marine Corps. What do you think, Mike? Maybe not.
That the people that came up with needs in the Marine Corps were not educated enough really what the need really was. It's trying to find the really what's behind the what do they really mean by that?
Oh, he said you got to get your secret decoder ring out.
Yeah, and then when you inform them, really no, this is the need, then they're on board.
Nice. So, do you have any advice for people that would be looking to get on their own program? How do you do it?
You got to educate yourself, because you're going to find a lot of resistance. And if you don't know what you're talking about, you're going to get shut down real quick. So.
Oh, wow. So, number one, be a subject matter expert?
Yeah, know what you're talking about.
Which is one of your pet peeves, right, in the gunner community? You have all the – I've heard this speech before. You have all these people waiting for you to sit there and tell them something, you know, good about what they should be doing. And what do you do? Go ahead, Mike. Finish it.
Crush them. Crush their hopes. Because hope is never a course of action.
Well, it is today. Obviously, we're job hoping today, or tomorrow. We're transiting today. So Will, what did you do over the weekend? Anything fun, exciting?
No, I mean, you know, this is a tough weekend, and you hear it a lot, never forget, and this is one of those weekends where you try to make sure you never forget, and. You know, I think about those guys a lot. This weekend, it comes to the fore a little bit more. And, you know, my wife is still connected to a lot of these families. And so for us, typically, it's stay away from the news because, you know, I like the fact that my fellow Americans can live their lives the way they want to, because of what a lot of people that we know did. But it doesn't mean I necessarily want to watch them do it. And so, this weekend is tough. It's, in some ways, it's uplifting though. When you think about those guys, you think of what their families have done since then. And, but it's not a, I wouldn't say it's a fun, happy weekend by any stretch anymore. That's for sure.
So what do you do? How do you cope with it? I pulled like 9 acres worth of weeds. It's like, geez, why is Mac pulling all those weeds? He got issues.
Yeah, you know, when I was up in D.C., you know, we would make it a point to go visit often at the Quantico Cemetery, but also at Arlington. Down here, it's not really, you know, I don't know anybody here. I actually, believe it or not, I went through, I had saved all the email that I sent from Iraq back to families, and I went through all that email and just thought about some of those guys, and my wife had people send her pictures. We were looking at some of the pictures, and, you know, I try not to dwell on it in my daily life. It's part of your life. You got to move on.
Right.
But, again, you don't want to forget.
Right.
And, it's seemingly it's a long time ago now for me, 2004, in many ways, but still connected to a lot of guys well past that, and I can pull up some of those images like they were yesterday as well.
We were talking about that, you know, ignore it. I'll tell you kind of a funny story. Three years ago, my son Patrick, who's now a first lieutenant at Camp Hansen in Okinawa, and in 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. But anyway, he and my ex-wife, Susan, who you both have met, they ran in 3-5 has its own little Memorial Day event that they run. And so yesterday, I guess it was Saturday, And I said, hey, we were doing something. And I said to Susan, what are you doing this weekend? She said, the dark horses are running. They have a 5K, so I'm going to run in the dark horses 5K. I said, okay, get it straight, all right? Well, you know, it's kind of odd that, you know, 3 years later, Patrick's in the unit, and they had the T-shirt for running it a few years ago. And then I said, Susan, it's dark horse, okay? She said, I know, but there's more than one of them, so aren't they the dark horses? I said, no. She said, well, that doesn't make sense. I said, it doesn't need to make sense. It's the dark.
Doesn't need to make sense.
It's the dark horse, okay? She said, got it, dark horse, whatever. I'm going to go run. So it was kind of cool. She went down and ran in it. And so different things going on, but anyway. Anyway, all right. Whose car door just opened?
Mine.
All right, you're at the hospital?
Yeah. I can talk, so I'm walking up.
All right. Let's see. We were going to talk about Italian food. Will, you up for a little Italian cuisine discussion?
Yeah, before we go there, though, I want to give you a book recommendation.
All right, go ahead.
I just read a book called The Savage War. It's a military history of the Civil War, but it's really good. It's there's a little bit of, you know, Who Shot John in there, but it's much more of a strategic, operational type look with a lot of very good. They weave a little bit of modernity into it. They don't need to be so strong on that because a lot of the things come out very nicely. But a well-written narrative that can help you think through even modern military-type things. The Savage War. I think it's been out for a few months, and it's gotten some really good reviews, all of them well-deserved.
All right, we'll put that on the list. What's the title?
The Savage War.
The Savage War. Okay. The Gunner, Rich Elaine just said to say hello.
Oh, Metro.
Metro, that's right. Metro might be, I don't know, Will Cosentini's up there, but Metro might be the smartest human I know.
No, Metro is the smartest human I've ever come in contact with.
He is the smartest human being that we ever have met. He's an F-18 pilot, and, Rich Elaine.
Well, no, he's a fighter pilot.
He's a fighter, oh, yeah. Hey, do you know Rich?
What fighter pilot?
He's a fighter pilot.
Yeah, he's a fighter.
Yeah.
And I can see him. He's got that grin right now if he's listening. He's just like, he's shaking his head left and right like, these guys are idiots.
He's not listening. I just told him we're talking about you now. Metro, he's like a, he's like when he's walking around and he's kind of got a big head, but when he's walking around, you can see like the little electrical, you know, things around his skull. You know how you see him in the movies? But this is real.
Yeah.
He's got like these little blue lightning bolts like around his head. You're like, whoa, what's up with that dude? He's really smart.
Yeah. He's thinking.
He's thinking. Yeah. And you're just, and if he ever makes it his business to like take you on as a project, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys ready to talk about Italian food?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. If somebody were to ask you your go-to summer Italian dish, what would you tell them?
It's a pasta salad.
Ooh.
A nice chilled pasta salad with chopped up salami and some pepperoni and some peppercinis and a couple, you know, broccoli and some vegetables in there. And, with the tortellini as the pasta, it's like a three-cheese tortellini.
Peppercini, for people that don't know peppercini, Mike, tell them what they're missing.
Oh, yeah, that's the quintessential side dish for any kind of Italian food. The sandwiches, anything. The side, oh, yeah. Got to have peppercinis. And you pour a little of the peppercini juice in the salad, too.
You can use it on so many different dishes. It makes it awesome. Absolutely awesome. Will, what about you? Go-to Italian dish?
Grilled sausage, peppers, and onions.
Yeah, that's got to be up there, too.
All right, come on, give me more than that. All right, that's it? Sausage and onions?
And peppers.
Peppers and onions. That's the sort of classic Italian barbecue food.
So is that all that grilled or what?
I mean, you know, you can take your peppers and onions, saute them on the side, grilled sausage, make a sandwich. You don't have to make a sandwich. But that's the go-to Brooklyn Italian barbecue in the summer. Out the back.
Yeah. I don't like it with bread.
Yard. Out the back concrete.
No.
Have a little hibachi.
You don't have to make a sandwich out of it. Just peppers, sausage, and onion. That's it. No bread.
No bread?
No.
Hmm. Okay, I'm with you. What about bread? Do you have a favorite kind of bread that you... let me just tell you, for like people that eat Italian food, bread and butter is a big deal. There's a certain type of butter. If you just like... There's a certain type of butter they like. There's a certain type of bread they like, right? The wine goes with that kind of stuff.
Right.
Mike, where do you, when you're going to eat well, where do you buy your butter?
I actually make it.
What?
Yeah.
Your fans, this is, I don't know how well this is going to go over. Hold on, here's an email.
What do you mean?
We had a medevac, a Marine, out to the USS Mercy, or USNS Mercy, in 91 due to suspected burst appendix. Turns out he was eating MRE peanut butter per day, 7 of them per day, and it shut down his colon.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a health hazard.
I think that's a bullshit.
Yeah, but,
that's
but
a
the
bullshit
peanut butter, story. The peanut butter has got a little warning label on it.
It says don't consume more than 2 a day.
No, it doesn't.
I would medevac him for a mental condition.
Exactly.
Peanut butter straight.
Psych eval. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. You need
7 peanut butters
a
day.
Personality disorder easily.
The worst, next question, next email question. What's the worst MRE you ever ate?
The ham and chicken loaf in Bridgeport frozen. The ham and chicken sickle is the worst ever. And you're so hungry that you actually break the pieces off and let them melt in your mouth. So the worst.
Gunner, whatever you are?
Yeah, the old ones when the cheese would separate and the oil would come out, and there was no way when it was nice and cool, no way even in kneading it wouldn't come back to bring it back together, and it came out like curds. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You know what? I didn't eat very many bad ones because I just refused to eat. I would eat applesauce, and I would eat cocoa.
Or you guys remember the bread?
They would just
put in the shape of a loaf. Oh. And as soon as you take a bite, it sucks all the moisture out of your body.
Yeah, so another good one is on the second day of the CACs. You know, when you got your M151 Jeep and trailer with all your water cans that you haven't refilled for the last day, and it's, you know, 103 degrees.
Yeah.
And you got that old dehydrated beef patty. And there's not 3 drops of water in the entire platoon. Try chucking that thing.
And you're munching on that thing dry.
That's like crazy, crazy hungry. That's like out of your skull. Here's another one from Corporal Smith in New Jersey. Listening to your show at police headquarters. He's a detective now. So you know that, like, that group's completely screwed up. Hey Vito,
yeah.
you remember Smitty from the basic school?
Sure. Yeah, Colin.
No, Corporal Smith? He worked up in tactics?
Yeah.
Always never followed rules, always had to argue, typical New Jersey jackass kind of stuff? Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, will you go out and do this? Yeah, sir, but I'm not doing it that way. What do you mean? And then you get up there. And then he's got it all screwed up. But he was funny, so we tolerated it. And he says, old MREs would back up for weeks. Like, how would he know? He never ate an MRE. I never saw that guy eat an MRE. Right? Enlisted guys with a lack of supervision are going to eat MREs, yes? No.
No, they're sneaking all the food out. Yeah, they got food in their pack. Cans of Chef Boyardee.
Top Ramen?
Yeah, Top Ramen was always a staple. It was light carry.
Yeah, you could carry a bunch of them.
I had a kid in L.A.R.
What was the name of that place that was out? You know, if you were way at the northern end of the training area, you could go out there and grab a cup of coffee in the morning. You remember, Mac?
Where?
No. I'm not a coffee guy. Yeah. I had somebody ask me if I was a Mormon once. Because I don't drink a lot and I don't drink coffee. And they like, Mac, are you a Mormon? I'm like, no, I'm Catholic. They're like, bullshit. There's no way. Yeah. Yeah. So go to if you weren't going to eat MREs in the field. Top Ramen was probably number one, yes, because it was light. You could carry, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if you get crushed, and you wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah. What else? What?
But like I was telling you, I had a guy in LAR, though. He was a new Marine, and he was in my vehicle. And so my chief scout comes to me one day, Avila, and he says, hey, Staff Sergeant, you got to see this. And I said, what? We dump his tank, and probably about 3/4 of his tank was canned goods. I mean, from chili to spaghetti meatballs to beefaroni. I mean, you, like, what in the world were you thinking? Well, that's why I don't like MREs. I don't give a shit if you like them. I don't like them. No one likes them. But yeah, he used to carry, like, literally 70 pounds of food, canned food goods in his pack.
Like, hey, just so you know, I told Metro that you just said he was the smartest human being that you've ever spoken to on the planet. He's typing now. Just so you know, he's typing now. I'm not sure which kind. He said, ha, and appeal to my vanity. You guys are good stuff. Hope to catch up soon. Oh, Metro's being gracious.
Hey, you know what? The only guy I ever remember in a combat zone in Afghanistan who would always have perfect hair.
Yeah. You know what? He walked in one day. He went down to get a haircut. Will's back with us now after some kind of conniption fit. But Metro goes down to get a haircut. And it was always a crapshoot. Unless you were a guy like Mike who could somehow or other find somebody who could cut your hair and do it perfectly. Everybody else goes down and, you know, you wait in line for an hour to get a haircut. Unless you've got special access in your own hours. Kind of like Mike did. And but your subject, so Metro Aviator's getting haircuts, right? He walks back into the COC, takes his cover off, and I can't remember, it might have been Luke, looks at him and goes, "Hey, motivator!" And with that, everybody looks, and the guy tightened him up a little bit too much for an aviator.
Ooh.
Oh,
that
boy.
That F-18 helmet got a fit.
It's, you know what? And when there's too much hair gone, it doesn't work so well. And the best part was everybody noticed, right? Everybody noticed. Everybody's walking through. They're like, "Oh, Metro, what's up? Devil Dog?" It's like,
welcome to the Marine Corps, Metro.
Hey, Metro, what's up? And he looked at me and goes,
"Hey, let me tell you, in Iraq, I used to look at people with haircuts with disdain. I told them, you can only get your hair cut if you're clean."
Oh.
So I got 5 haircuts in 7 months.
You guys were nasty, too. How did you guys get
orange? They were nasty.
How did you guys get orange? Will would show up and he'd be orange. Like, where the hell has he been? What strip joint has he been in? Why is he orange and everybody else is, like, brown and stuff? Like, where did the orange color come from?
That's what out there in the desert, you know, all that powder would come up.
Really?
Yeah, or the FRH is kind of orange, right?
That's about that time, General Kelly.
Wait, but there was other people that were always out in the... Well, I don't know. You guys were always...
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. I had rifle companies live on the ground 29 nights a month out of 30. There were a lot of people that commuted to work every day, but they were back in the FOB every day. There weren't anyone that was out.
Oops.
I told you about the time General Kelly called me, and I had to go down there and get my ass chewed by him. And so I drove my jump like 300 miles to go see him, got my ass chewed, looking for my crews. Well, it's lunchtime, so they were in the chow hall. So I walked in the chow hall, the Blue Diamond, and they were sitting all the way in the back. And it was pretty interesting because they were sitting at two tables right in the middle.
I remember.
And there was one table empty all the way around them. And that was the first time I really noticed the difference. It was a very proud moment, my time.
Wasn't that the time when they told you guys they couldn't come in the chow hall?
They may have tried.
Yeah, you're too dirty. Go clean up. What? Yeah. And Will's guys were nasty dirty, too. Hey, who would give haircuts? Would you guys give each other haircuts? That's always an interesting time.
and that's why I would only let them get a haircut when they were clean.
Yeah, because
I went to Sierra Leone once. And actually, we were in Brazzaville, Congo, and we were there for 2 weeks. And I was with one, two. I was a three. And so we were there for 2 weeks, and guys were giving each other haircuts, and I had like 100 Marines get impetigo from it.
What?
So when I went to Iraq, I said,
"What is that?"
Yeah, it's a skin disease from you know, some guy would have something, it'd be infected, you'd get in the clippers, and before you know it, you got 100 guys on antibiotics. And so I told him, no haircuts unless you're clean. And so it kept the amateur barbers from doing too much work. And the battalion commander isn't going to get his hair cut except once every month or so, and no one else needs to as well. But we didn't, you know, we had water, but again, you're out there for that amount of time. There's, it's just one of those things. Yeah, you got to have your hair short, whatever, but you got to have a little balance.
Well, why don't you clean? Why don't you learn how to clean the shears, man? You're LAR guys. Come on.
One less thing to supervise.
Oh, there you go. Now we're taking shortcuts. That's nice. Mike, do you want to? Should we start a little pool? What do you think? Think Will gets this job or not? Like, who else would they give it to, Will?
No idea.
He's
plenty of good candidates out there.
And the location is Long Beach, right?
Long Beach.
Where are you flying into? Are you flying into Long Beach or LAX?
No, I'm flying into John Wayne, and then I got to drive over.
So where are you going to be tonight?
I don't get in there until I don't know what time. I think I land at 7 or something, and then I figure it's got to be an hour or so to drive over there.
To Long Beach, depending on traffic. At 7, probably not. Well, yeah.
Well, it's on the other side. It's on the L.A. side of Long Beach.
Okay, port side. Okay. Yeah, look, I'm right next to John Wayne Airport, so I don't know, man. Swing by. Say hi. You're welcome to spend the night.
Mi casa es
su casa.
Yeah, but I got an interview early tomorrow morning, and it's right next to the hotel.
And then are you flying out tomorrow?
No, I'm not flying out till Thursday morning.
Oh, okay. Well, come by and hang out.
Yeah. So you know, send me a text, and we'll put together a link-up plan for tomorrow.
Stop talking like that. We'll get together. We're civilians now.
Link-up plan.
Exactly. I'll send you a link-up plan. Roger. What the fuck, okay, Will? Stop it. Don't talk to the civilians like that. Your shit's going to be so back to Tampa so fast, it'll be crazy. And then what's going to happen? Yeah, then you're going to get in trouble again.
Jacksonville.
Whatever. It's all the same ball of shit over there anyway. It's not like Texas, I can tell you that.
Nothing.
No,
like,
it's not like Texas.
Yeah, Mike's new favorite state. What do you think of guys who switch their lifelong affiliation of their football team, Will?
No, can't be done.
Mike?
If you can switch, that means you don't have an affiliation.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. That'll leave a mark.
I got tired. Like I said, I got tired of being disappointed.
The Vikings.
Tired.
This is a, Mike, this is why Metro's so smart.
Loyalty is a two-way street.
Oh, rip.
Gotta go both ways.
And because because the Vikings disappointed him, then that left him open to change teams. Hope your daughter never disappoints you. I hope she wasn't listening to this. I just tell Metro, right, the smartest human being, I told him this. Hey, we're talking about you now. Gunner, quote, without a doubt, Metro is the smartest human being I've ever spoken to on this planet. And then he makes his comment, appeals to my vanity. You guys are good guys. We'll catch up soon. I say, take care. Now we're telling Metro stories. And he sends back, knowing you bastards, it's probably about my hair. Out.
He's smart, isn't he?
I told him. I told you. He's the smartest. Yeah. He could sense that. He's like Harry. He's like the real Harry Potter. He's a wizard.
He knows what's going on.
He knows.
Yeah, he is a wizard.
He is a wizard. Yeah, and he reads like Popular Mechanics and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, he's crazy. And, you know, his brother was flying in support of us. He was a regimental air officer, and he turns around one day and he says, check it out. I'm going to tell my brother what to do here right now. I said, what? He said, yeah, my brother is flying off whatever, the Carl Vinson or whatever. So, anyway. All right, that'll do it for today. Any final words? Will, good luck.
Good luck, Will. Have fun with
Mike
in California.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, Mike, you could be hanging out with us, except you're in Texas.
Yeah, except where you guys are in California.
What's wrong with California? Living on the coast, living the American
dream. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to tell you what's wrong with California.
All right. Well, hey, well, tell Ralph we said hey.
I will.
All right. From the great state of Texas, Michael Musselman. Gunner, have a good day.
Yep, I'll talk to you guys later. See you later, Will.
And somewhere in that dark, nasty thing known as Florida, Will Cosentini. Will, thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks. Hey, give me a ring when you get off.
Okay, I will.
Thanks.
All right. That is Will Cosentini. More. I love this show. More of All Marine Radio. Coming up next, right here on a Tuesday. Who knew that was going to happen? All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
All I can say about...
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Major overhaul at the White House. A guy named Mike Dubke resigns. Yeah, big stuff. President's back from Europe. Heads are going to roll. Heads ought to roll. Germany getting ready to go out on its own. Let us know how that works for you there. Angela Merkel said, United States and Britain can't be trusted to be with us all the time. Okay. I think it's pretty easy to vilify Donald Trump, but I don't think anything the United States is asking for is out of the question. And they know that he has to push back on the climate agreement because he ran on that. Anyway, my thanks today for you for listening. My thanks to General Mattis for being the Secretary of Defense. My thanks to General Kelly for being the Department of Homeland Security. I would tell you that without a doubt, you'll hear General Mattis's interview if you missed it. If you join the program late, you'll hear it again here in a little bit. If you missed the National Memorial Day concert, check it out. And at about 2 hours and 15 minutes into it, it's awesome. You'll see a sergeant by the name of Avila, who Bob Nielsen knows. So if Bob Nielsen knows him, that means maybe we'll get him on the program. Kellyanne Conway is out in public again. Where's she been? She doesn't look very good. She looks... Yeah, Kellyanne Conway. You know, when you make your business in the... When you make your living in the business of political spinning, ugh, what an awful, awful way to live your life. That's Kellyanne Conway. Yeah. But here's your assignment. If you missed it, or you could just listen. Keep listening if you missed it. Check out the video. It's the 2017 National Memorial Day Concert, PBS. Search that. 2017 National Memorial Day Concert, PBS. You'll find it's a four-hour concert. Go to 2 hours and 15 minutes into the concert, and you're going to see, I believe he's Sergeant First Class, Avila Singh. And he sucks, but it's awesome. It's awesome. And he's singing with another woman. His voice coach is up there on the stage. He's in uniform, and he got blown up. Three other soldiers killed in Afghanistan, I want to say, on his like third or fourth combat deployment. You know, a typical story, and his wife's never given up on him. You know what? And that, to me, is what Memorial Day is about. It's about the families that have paid such a huge sacrifice for the nation, and then ultimately the men and women who have given their lives, and what we need to do to rededicate ourselves to make this a better place. Read the Gettysburg Address, the last paragraph. The world will little remember what we say here, but the world can never forget what they did here. It is up to us, the living, I'm trying to recite this from memory, to dedicate ourselves to the unfinished business that was the building of the United States. Abraham Lincoln, check it out, it's awesome. But what it should mean, though, and it should be read every Memorial Day, is that we as citizens, we got to serve, we owe. And it's not hard. Food shelter, close to the homeless shelter, and volunteer in your community, man. That's how you do it. Make it a better place. Anyway, on that awesome thought, that's really what Memorial Day should be about. The rededication of ourselves to their work. The rededication of ourselves to their family. So, all of that good stuff. Anyway, have a great afternoon. Don't touch that dial because All Marine Radio, Hour 1, starts right now.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, you are. So, good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McMurrin for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Completing our 52nd week. That's right. Next week. Boom. We're no longer one pump chumps. That's right. Getting ready for our second. How about that? Who thought that would happen when we started? I did. That's right. I did. So anyway, good morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend. I did. I cleaned a lot. Did a lot of yard work. For whatever reason, cleaning and yard work liberates me. Yeah, it sets me free from the tyranny of whatever, my existence. I'll tell you what we're going to do in a second today, and then we've got some stuff to talk about. I don't know what we do about Memorial Day, but I think a lot of, I would consider myself in the company of a lot of people in terms of the way they go about Memorial Day, which is they kind of insulate themselves a little bit from it. And the reason they do that is some of the stuff that goes on is just, it's just a little bit, I don't know, frustrating, hurts your feelings a little bit, frustrates you. It's like, come on, man. Do you not know better than that? You know, where have you been for the last 50 years of your life, for the last 30 years of your life, for the last 20 years of your life? Where in the hell have you been? So I think a lot of people, I mean, what do? You just, I think you go off by yourself. You go off by yourself. And, you know, you do yard work, which I did. I had one flower bed. I had one flower bed on left to weed, so I did that. And then I had some other cleaning I had to do, so I did that. And, yeah, so did some yard work, did some cleaning. And now I'm rounds complete. I'm, like, cleaning complete, yard complete. Everything's where it needs to be. I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty fired up about that. That's right. So, anyway, so I did that. I also watched a few things over the weekend. I finished watching Pacific. It's the first time I ever watched it by myself. Kind of a, how would I say that? You know, kind of like where you stop it, rewind it, things like that. Notice smaller things. And I will say, it's, to me, Pacific is so different than Band of Brothers. Pacific is so dark in its subject matter. And both of them, I think, if you've ever gone to war for your country, one of the things they both just absolutely slay is the mental things that guys, that people go through. And I think at the end of Pacific, you know, it's, you see their, you know, World War II era intimacy of they've survived this thing that they never thought they'd survive. You also see during the fighting on Okinawa, which was long and crazy. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know, Sledge survived. He's a mortarman, man. And that had its benefits. You weren't up there with the rest of the rifle platoons. You were in weapons platoon, and normally you were, you know, an echelon behind. And then they get a chance on Okinawa, they get yanked up, and you can see the dread on their face when they go forward as riflemen and what they deal with, the how the civilians got intermingled with the Japanese, and the Japanese used them, and just awful stuff. But then, you know, as they kind of, you know, make their way home, and you see different scenes. It's pretty pointed stuff. So, anyway, I watched that over the weekend. I had the chance, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit, I had a chance to let me read you an email. Mac, please tell me you're going to talk about Happy Memorial Day. What can you say? You know, it's probably, you hear it and you just cringe. You're like, come on, think about it. You know? And I, let me tell you, I heard it on baseball games. Just like, oh my God. Stop it. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Like, and again, the thought that goes through my head is the biblical thought. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. In that, They're ignorant, so what do you do to make them more aware? So I've got a letter typed up to Major League Baseball about just a memo to send out. Please tell your broadcasters not to say Happy Memorial Day. You know, welcome on Memorial Day to blah, 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 blah. But, and again, somebody no less than Joe Buck, right? He's at the top of the heap. And he's ignorant. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Yeah, Joe, can't wait to grill. Or go to the mattress sale. It's awesome. Really? So, no, we'll get to that here. What can you do? So, we'll get to Happy Memorial Day here in a little bit. And then, what else? And then I had some people come over. They wanted to see Colleen, my daughter. And so we grilled, you know, yesterday and had dinner and had a nice day as I watched the Yankees lose to Baltimore, which didn't make me happy, but anyway. So that was my weekend. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. You know, I'll tell you the other thing that was going on over the weekend that since you all listen, that you'll be familiar with is Richard Caruso, who you've heard on this program before. Hold on. Mac, what about the baseball fight between The Giants and the Nationals. Yeah, that was a good one. I see. I think fighting is a good thing, and I don't think fighting is a bad thing in sports. I think they should let them fight. But a couple notes about the fight itself. So this goes back a couple years when Bryce Harper, who's one of the best players in Major League Baseball, Bryce Harper hits a couple home runs off the guy who's pitching in San Francisco. And I don't even know that dude's name, but he can throw really hard. And so first pitch, the guy's name is Hunter Strickland. He hits him right in the hip. And normally what happens in a baseball fight is if, you know, the catcher's no dope. He knows what's going to happen. And so the catcher will jump up and grab the guy and not let him get to the pitcher, right? The Giants catcher is a guy named Buster Posey. And he's kind of a girly boy when it comes to this physical contact stuff. I saw him do this 2 years ago, and my cousin and his son are huge Giant fans. And I said, hey, look, let me just tell you straight up. That guy, he's not a man in my book. He didn't even, like, do anything to help. And he did the same thing yesterday. So the Strickland throws at Harper, hits him right in the hip. Harper looks out at him. At that point, Posey should get between him. Posey doesn't move. So Harper takes off to the mound. Posey never moves. He just stands there and lets it happen, which is samurai violation. I don't know how he walks. Like, he walks. He can hit. That's about it. So anyway, the guy who is awesome in this fight is a guy who played at Notre Dame. He was a wide receiver, and then he's a pitcher on Notre Dame's baseball team, and now he's a pitcher in the big leagues. His name's Jeff Samardzija. He comes flying off the Giants bench. And Samardzija, I want to say he's like 6'6". He's a big guy. He's a wide receiver, and he comes flying into this pile trying to get at Harper. And it was awesome. But I think they ought to let guys fight in sports, kind of like hockey. You know, no harm, no foul. You can fight. Settle this stuff. Get it out of your system. Although, here's what I would do in baseball. Third man in is suspended for a month.